Okay. All right, my name is Bernard Nematic. Real glad to be here. I found it real urgent this morning to wake up and get to the tradition meeting. So I was doing everything in a hurry to find out that I was going to be asked to do the traditions, and I didn't have a choice about whether I went first or second. And that's okay, because when I understand that, you know, there's no real coincidences. You know, everything happens, and I say that because, you know, when I went to the doctor to get a diagnosis that would help this fungus on my feet a year ago, you know, unknowing to me that I was being rescued from the unknown knowledge I had hepatitis C, and I had a chronic diagnosis. I didn't have that little bit of hepatitis C that a lot of people are having. I had that one that was ready to cross that line. And I'm real grateful. So I accept opportunities to come, and I'd just like to say I'm real happy to be able to share, you know, my experiences, because my experiences in this fellowship have evolved a lot around the traditions. It's evolved around a lot of my attitudes of indifferences towards spiritual principles, and those things weren't really discovered or uncovered until I got into the group. You know, until I got into the process in this program, where a lot of times, you know, you find out that even though you think that you're a part of, you'll find out clearly through the traditions that sometime, because of your thinking, you can become a part away from. And I remember, you know, like a lot of issues coming up as I've stayed in this process, and I got one sponsor, and I got a home group. And I say, because I understood that the one part of my recovery was real important. The one person that would know me from the way I came in here, and the person that was able to see me developing, the one home group that I could say I was a part of and actually did something in. See, I know that when I spread myself out, I don't do a good job. So when I came to this program, you know, the fourth tradition was kind of like an opportunity for me to see how this program could take a group of people and allow them to recover in an atmosphere that was conducive to recovery. But it also made us mindful that this tradition is one that guides us into the level of freedom that we should have as individuals and as groups and as fellowship. And a lot of times, you know, this tradition is misled into the belief that you can do what you want to do. But it's clear that, you know, this tradition says that what we do, as long as it doesn't affect NA or other groups. And a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of things in our literature that tells you how, you know, we can take this tradition and set us apart, you know, and not bring us together. And you know, in the beginning of the basic text, it talks about, you know, even when we make these decisions, we need to make sure that these decisions about our group are conducive to the needs of the people that are attending our meetings. You know what I'm saying? We need to make sure that we don't get caught up in a format that goes beyond our primary purpose. You know, like not wanting to be in competition. And a lot of times I question, you know, the efforts of recovery when groups start doing things that are not necessary to carry our message. And do they begin to formulate ideas about what meeting the addict should go to? Because I think when it's time to go to the meeting, you get in your car and you get to the quickest place or the most convenient place without the thought that something's going on there that make this meeting better. So what we've done in my home group is that we've looked at the fourth tradition, and we've tried to understand that this tradition allows us to do things that are basically related to the needs of the group. You know, and I've been in my home group going on 8 years, so I'm familiar with why that tradition was formulated, because, you know, over the period of time that I've been in that group, you know, thank God that, you know, no one told us that, well, you know, when NA first started, that a meeting should only last an hour. Because I thought that would have probably been, you know, right. But in the beginning, you know, in my home group, it was a lot of us that just had came out of treatment. We really didn't have a lot of things to do that members that come into our meeting today have to do. We have a lot of recovery houses and treatment centers, and they have a set schedule that governs what they do with our time. When we got there at 7 o'clock a.m., you know, we really didn't have anything else to do. So we decided, well, since at 8 o'clock we still felt like we needed to do a little sharing, we decided to make the meeting an hour and a half. And the freedom that our group had was that we established a format where we could meet for an hour and a half every day, and it was possible some days, because the group was small, that you could share two or three times. Now, that's not acceptable in a lot of groups, because they say that's self-centered when you share more than once. But we didn't know what we wanted to say, and we said what we needed to say. And it was a lot of freedom. You know, and I understand why other groups have formats, because the formats are conducive to the members and the experience. Well, we didn't have any experience. We may have had one person that had a working knowledge of the steps, or at least half the steps. But all I know is that that person, every time we had a step meeting or a tradition meeting, they did the meeting. So we kind of adapted, you know, now a format that looks at who's coming to our meeting. Well, you know, now, you know, and what we found was that that hour and a half began to make us enforce some policies that began to affect other members. Well, since we were there an hour and a half, we wanted everybody else to stay an hour and a half. And some people at the court slip say, you know what, I need to go after an hour. So we said, well, we're going to do this. We're going to tell them, if you get here, you got to stay. You got to stay to the end of the meeting. And we thought that was helping them get the recovery that we got. But what we were doing, we were affecting the freedom that they needed. So, you know, and it took us quite a while, because we always had to go back and ask ourselves, where did these mindsets begin? Well, it began 8 years ago, and we didn't have anything to do. You know, it began when the purpose of the time of that meeting was geared around us having a place to feel safe. And that when we started making these mandates or these policies about court slips, you know, and we began to see, you know, God will reveal some things to you. When you think you're right, he'll show you're not right. And what happened is that these people said, well, you know what, since I can't leave at 8 o'clock, we're not going to come to the meeting. And we began to realize that we couldn't recover alone. You know, so we said, wait, we might get humble here, and we might need to invite an opportunity, and we might need to think about, like, you know, understand that the tradition before that talks about being able to come and go as freely as you wish. And there's always issues around what groups decide to do. But hopefully through understanding the spiritual principle of this program, we'll get to that decision that's conducive. So we looked at the group, and we began to understand that it was no longer our group. Because I think somewhere in our mind it became our group, the format was for us, and that's what it was. And we decided to open up to the idea that we needed to make this group conducive to the needs of any addict seeking recovery. So we developed a format, and that format gave us the freedom to do what we needed to do. You know, and at that time, you know, we looked at where we were at. But we also looked at the Narcotics Anonymous program, and this program doesn't require any advanced levels of understanding. And it was a lot of controversy, because a lot of times, you know, and I'm not here to say the right or wrongs, but we knew it was a 12-step program. And regardless of what we thought we wanted, we knew what this program had to offer. So I've been the beneficiary of being in a home group that have done the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. And I'm not saying every meeting we had a great speaker. I'm not saying every meet we had a person that had a great understanding, but we had the book. And we had a chance to read the book together. And we had a chance to, like, if the speaker didn't have everything we needed, we learned together. You know, we didn't have the benefits of having a lot of predecessors that knew all this stuff and could give us all that we needed. So what we've done, we developed to do a step meeting, a tradition meeting, you know, once a week. And we decided not to do 1, 2, 3 of anything. We decided to take on this program the way it was written. So we decided to do the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and then some new members came in, and we began to know that this tradition allowed, you know, some new members to have input. And they said, well, what about a newcomers meeting? You know, because a lot of time newcomers are told just to listen, but sometimes we need to make sure that they feel comfortable with the format. And we decided to, you know, have a round robin. And a lot of people with experience think that round robin is limited to, like, just getting a lot of what I think and a lot of theories. But what it did is that that round robin format gave the newcomer a chance not to be limited to sharing, you know, like on a step or a tradition. Because it was always suggested in our home group that if you didn't have experience on a step or tradition, that we asked you to pull someone about that after the meeting if you needed to share. And today we still try to adhere to that, because the reality is that as we have other members visiting our groups, there's always a search and a need to find someone to bring a message to your home group. And when we have people that take on positions as secretaries, we say go to other meetings. And the opportunity to find and get people to help carry the message is important. And we don't intend to shut anybody down, but we say that we have a format that's conducive to everybody's needs. So we have the round robin, we have the steps, we have the traditions, and we have a meeting on Thursdays, and we alternate. It's sponsorship, and we alternate that, you know, every other week with the newcomer. So what we've done with the fourth tradition is that we have allowed our group to share as much of this program as possible. And even when people come in and say, well, why are you guys having a newcomers meeting and not many people, a tradition meeting, not many people, you know, have, you know, over a year? Well, hopefully if they stay in this program and they take the suggestion of becoming a home group, they'll get an understanding that through this process, they'll be able to understand and know the traditions, because we're going to invite them in the group conscious. So what we've tried to do is we've tried to make sure that that full tradition allows us to do the best job that we can do in sharing the Narcotics Anonymous program. And then, you know, the tradition that captures my heart a lot of time is that once we understand, you know, what we're doing, what Narcotics Anonymous has to offer, then we get to, like, reminding ourselves in the fifth tradition, our primary purpose. You know, because that's so important because, you know, a lot of times, you know, through the hard-won experiences of this program, the primary purpose evolved because of the great divan in carrying this message. But as a group, we always had to stay focused. And as a result, you know, a lot of subcommittees and, you know, were formed to make sure that groups stayed focused in why we needed to be at that meeting every day. You know, why we didn't need, because it was a tried effort that, you know, meeting groups could go places and we could help carry messages in other places. But that was diverting from the primary purpose there. We placed something in the schedule that said that we were going to be there every Monday, every Wednesday. You know, and that's why we have subcommittees now to make sure that the primary purpose, because everything in Narcotics Anonymous begins at the group level. You know, that's where we begin to carry this message of hope. And through those efforts, we have found out that the traction of our program called on us doing other things. And we formed subcommittees like H&I, Public Information, the Hotline, to make sure that we had a chance to get this message out. But we need to always stay mindful that, you know, where we meet and where we tell addicts to come to seek recovery, the doors always need to be open. And a lot of times, you know, I know groups like to get involved in other activities and stuff, but I tell you, when I've seen other groups take on other needs or focus of interest and not let these subcommittees kind of handle them, it takes away from the group. You know, it's a great idea that your group want to do something to raise money, but if you're meeting the needs of the group, then maybe the group needs to put that over here and let special events or one of the other, you know, subcommittees that can see and understand what the needs are for our fellowship. You know, we don't need to become, you know, geared to, like, how are we going to serve food at our anniversary. You know, because a lot of things that we do, we don't really have expertise in. And I always say, if we're going to handle food, do we have a facility? Do we have members that's trained to handle that food? You know, because we have people that, you know, their health could be affected by compromising, you know, sanitation standards. So I just feel like, you know, that tradition there is to always let us know. And it says that whenever a group is in dissension and whenever there's a situation that the group is going through chaos and conflict, that the fifth tradition is our inventory. And we have to always ask ourselves, are we binding to something that's bigger than what Narcotics Anonymous need? You know, I'm real simplistic because I visualize how Narcotics Anonymous got started. You know, and a lot of times, you know, the choices that go into, like, where we pick meeting places at. You know, do we include, you know, the limitations of other people? You know, do we look at a facility and begin to ask ourselves, you know, are we going to be able to accommodate special needs? It's great opening up meetings, but I always say, you know, is this meeting going to include everybody? Is this in a location that's going to allow our members to get there without transportation? Because we're always serving the need of what this fellowship has to offer. And I always bring up, you know, is this really what Narcotics Anonymous is about? And the fifth tradition usually puts a stop on anything that's not recovery. You know, if you want to stop a situation in Narcotics Anonymous, take a moment of silence and ask yourself, is this our message? Because, you know, at the end of the fifth tradition, and I always say, because sometimes members come into this program and, you know, get the illusions of what this program has to offer. You know, and as being a secretary, you know, I say, you know, I'm going to start finding some stuff in our literature that sometimes doesn't get spoken out. You know, people don't hear. You know, because we have people that don't understand that we have a primary purpose. You know, at the end of the fifth tradition, it says, what is our message? You know, and I had the format one day, and the topic was, what is our message? And, you know, all the people that raised their hand at every meeting, didn't nobody raise their hand. And I said, isn't it awfully strange to be in a program that has a fifth tradition that really clearly indicates what our message is. You know, and it says when it's all over and done with, all we have to offer is a message of hope and the promise of freedom. You know, we have people that come to me and say, get to a meeting if you need a bus pass. I mean, and that may be a great idea, but the point is if you don't get the bus pass, are you going to miss what we have to offer? You know, because a lot of times I offer suggestions and I don't offer solutions with my money. I say, you know, it's kind of ludicrous to wait till Monday morning to get to the 7 o'clock meeting and have to be downtown at 8 o'clock. You know, I say, maybe if you'd have contacted me Friday, maybe we could have found something you had to do to help build up your self-esteem, to help you develop an understanding of what it would take for you to get $3. You know, and a lot of times, you know, we dismiss that. And, and the sixth tradition is really on top of where I'm at because we should never endorse, finance, or lend it in a name to any facility. And you guys know the rest. If we had the post up here, it would be a little easier. But you guys know what I'm talking about in the sixth tradition. And I tell you, right now, my heart is sinking to the ground. And we had the RCM from the Baltimore area. And we sat in at a group conscious the other day. And you know, in the sixth tradition, is something that's tucked away. And we need to talk about it. And that's why we have tradition meetings, is that sometimes facilities were used in a name to gain funding and resources. And today, that tradition is probably more important than ever. Because now, you know, we're in the communities. People know through our message of attraction, not promotion. We haven't gone on any campaign to tell the world about what we're doing other than who we are and the way our lives have changed. And I think that's perfectly fine. You know, but when you begin to see the changes, you know, that has occurred and you go into meetings and you see things that really question, like, what's my requirement for membership? You mean that, you know, and I can get with signing your name because there's security issues that go on today that we have to address and build because of the 9/11 situations. But then when I question, like, why is it a questionnaire pertaining to something that has nothing to do with my problems? Because when I come in, they say, all we want to know is what's your problem with drugs and how we can help. But there's questions that ask you, do you have any other needs or are you seeking any other resources? Well, they told me that this program would offer everything that I need. And then I begin to see changes. You know, I begin to see NA meetings that included, you know, a room adjacent that they said, well, you know what, if you guys, you know, need a place to hang out, you can come up here and play cards. See, you know, when I think about an NA meeting, I think about going to a meeting that I'm going to learn something about this program, how to stay clean. You know, and we offer a lot of perks at conventions. But my question is that when the NA meeting starts at 6 o'clock in the evening, see, we've come into a situation now where a lot of groups have been afforded the format similar to a marathon. Yeah, I'm from an area that we have meetings that start at 9 o'clock at night, and they go to 9 o'clock the next morning. They call it the 12-7 meeting. But when you get behind really what's fueling these meetings, you know, who's opening their doors up? So I think that everything that happens in this program needs to be done by our addicts. You know, and when we humble ourselves and realize that we can't go beyond our ability, then we get special workers. And we may have to employ professionals. But it's always a question when that door is opened up based on whether or not an addict is willing to make the commitment or that door is going to be open because the guy's on the clock. And I find out when somebody's on the clock, the commitment to this program isn't the same. So a lot of these facilities always say if you're paying $25 for rent and you're in a building 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, how much of the seventh tradition are you putting forth? And sometimes this stuff is dressed up in a way where you really don't see it. But I left out a group conscious observing the other day, and they talk about the internal strife. And, you know, these situations create a situation where by the time everybody left that meeting and discussing these issues about, they had $800. You know, how many NA groups have $800 and they're baffled about what to do with it? You know what I mean? You know, and the point is that I prayed and hoped that they would have resolved the money issue. But because of all the other stuff that was going on, they never got to that issue. It's just important to know that in protecting our fellowship, and the next tradition behind that really tells us how we make sure that we don't get caught in these traps. You know, how we don't allow people to make deals with Narcotics Anonymous in order for them to gain special funding. You know, and I always say, if the air conditioner is on and the heat's on, the light's on and the bathrooms are running, you know, can we really afford to be in places where our Southern tradition money doesn't allow us to be in? You know, when you're paying $25, what's the benefit to Narcotics Anonymous when the facility is putting out over $3,000 a month to have us there? And I'm not talking about how, you know, my buddy Austin was saying how professionals will sometime help us, you know, begin NA meetings by, you know, helping us with literature. But soon after the group develops and begin to be able to be on their own, we take over the ball. And it's real sad to know that because of these elaborate schemes, people are now beginning to use our program to fit some benefits. Because you know what? As long as we do this the way it's been done, we're not going to have any problems. But we need to be vigilant that this sixth tradition allows us to make sure we stay free. My name is Bernard. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Again, my name is Scott Nomadic. Thank you, Bernard. Without further ado, I'll give you Evelyn on 4, 5, and 6.
Good morning, everybody. I'm an addict. My name's Evelyn. And it's really good to be here. I got here really early this morning, fully prepared to have my expectations met, which was just me and my husband. And I would share, once again, my expertise and opinions on just about anything that was in front of my face for his ears only. And I am delighted to see so many other people in the rooms. Little housekeeping first, and that's to let you know that my husband and I flew 1,000 miles to be here today. We grateful recovering members of a home group in Hollywood, Florida called Sunset Serenity. I got clean in this area, and I stayed clean in this area for many years, and had the opportunity to make a big change in my life last year, and that was to get married, sell everything, and move my ass to Florida. And I am here to tell you that Narcotics Anonymous is alive and well in the great state of Florida. So I am delighted to be here. I am bound and determined by the God of my understanding. I'm getting the high sign from my sponsor, step back, because I'm loud anyways, to be improving my knowledge of the traditions. To that effect, I am working a traditions workshop with my home group once a month, and I find myself up here leading a meeting on the 4th, 5th, and 6th traditions. And I got to tell you, the same way I play cards, which is I look at my cards, I look at what's going on, and I go to think about what I got, and I forget, and I have to look at my cards again because I can't keep a civil thought in my head. I find myself going back time and time again to the basic text. And for me, it's important, and if you'll bear with me, I want to read the 4th, 5th, and 6th traditions because I forget. The 4th tradition says each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Tradition 5 says each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And Tradition 6 says an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. I need to know exactly what I'm talking about, because all I'm really going to do is give you my opinions and my experience, and I need to be centered in that. Everything that I need to know that's real and is part of the problem is in the basic text. The rest of it is just my experience, and you can do with it what you please, take what you need, and leave the rest. But I need to remember what the real language is. And I also need to do just one smidge of housekeeping so it doesn't have power over me. I never thought I'd be old enough to go through menopause, and I'm having a hot flash right now. So if I do not acknowledge it, it will get redder and redder and hotter, and then I'll just explode into a million little pieces all over up here. So that being said, when I first came to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I was lucky enough to come to an area that had a weekly Step in Traditions meeting. And we did it alternatively. One Wednesday night was a Step meeting. The next Wednesday was a Traditions meeting. And I got really good at missing those every other Wednesday meetings. I really didn't want any parts of the traditions. I didn't understand them. I was struggling enough to try to figure out what the heck the steps were about and what that was going on. And I got to tell you, I was pretty successful at that. I avoided the traditions for quite some time beyond the reading at each meeting and those accidental traditions meetings that I would stumble into. I think one of the first times I stumbled into a traditions meeting was here at CPRCNA when the programs committee got really clever. And instead of telling people that they were coming to a traditions meetings, what they did was they made each traditions meeting a relationship meeting. And whenever there's a relationships meeting, it's standing room only. But the reality is steps in the traditions, as far as I understand it, really are about relationships. The steps teach me about my relationship with me, simply put, and the traditions teach me about my relationship with you. And, you know, over time, I've been able to apply those steps to my life fairly well, and I kind of am comfortable in my own skin today. You know, I like who I am and where I am at. And the tools of the steps continue to allow me to grow into that process. But, you know, as much time as I may or may not have, I still got one ongoing problem, and that's that I cannot seem to get along with everybody else. You know, I can for a short time until you all open your mouth or until you look at me because my mouth is open. And I have found that I am compelled to take a look at the traditions and apply them to my life. You know, we look at the traditions and we're turned off, at least I was as an addict, because I thought this was all about the meeting. All about the meeting and all about Narcotics Anonymous. And I figured somebody else would take care of that. I didn't need to worry about that. There were people with time that were going to take care of that. All I needed to do was show my ass up at a meeting and stay clean. When it was brought to my attention that the traditions will help me to improve my relationships with others, I began to take a different interest in them. You know, the fourth tradition is about the autonomy of our groups. And you know, I do need to tell you that I am a home group member of Sunset Serenity. We meet 7 nights a week. And we never really want for trusted servants. Now, the autonomy of that was when I came to Florida from Virginia, having spent, you know, 9-10 years in meetings in Virginia, I had some expectations of what Narcotics Anonymous meetings should look like. So when I went down to my first meeting and those fools were not doing what I thought should be done, I had a little bit of a problem with that. You know, they clap after every meeting. My brain's going, you take up too much time with the clapping. We need more time to share. You know, and then when I heard this 7 nights a week thing, I'm thinking, my God, how do they get people to show up for this? The grace was I have been humiliated by my own behavior often enough that I kept my mouth shut and sat and watched for a while. And the reality is, the autonomy of our program allowed that group to do what best met the needs of the addicts attending that meeting. And it is a 7-night-a-week meeting. And I got to tell you, without it looking prideful, but I got some pride over this. We had Hurricane Wilma hit us, and we were without power and gasoline, and in some cases water, for almost 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And my home group met every single night, every single night. And I got to tell you, that brings some joy to my heart, because addiction and the suffering of addiction doesn't go away because a hurricane hits or because the power's out or the water's down. And there were, because of the autonomy and the need to structure that meeting, or the decision to structure that meeting to meet 7 days a week, there was at least one meeting in our area that went on, and it was a joy to behold. You know, we talk about there being 2 different types of meetings in Narcotics Anonymous, and that there's basically an open meeting and a closed meeting. And I have to, you know, take the tradition, kind of step it into my life and say, okay, if the fourth tradition is about autonomy and it's about 2 different kinds of meetings and it's about allowing things to be as they are, or groups to make decisions for themselves as long as they carry the primary purpose, how does that come into my life? Well, maybe It's about letting you be you and letting you mind your business without me minding your business for you. You know, that's what I find in this tradition as I apply it. And I cannot tell you how, you know, I heard it said a long time ago that my driving experience will be a better experience when I keep the focus on my own driving and not try to drive everybody else's cars for them. It's the same thing in my relationships with others. If I try to keep the focus on my behavior and set the standards for myself, and that's not without an inventory, that is not without steps, and that is not without a network or a sponsor, and I allow you to live your life and make your mistakes and come to me when you need that help, then I find that that relationship between us is better for it. Moving on to tradition 5, you know, the primary purpose, they open up by saying, you mean to say that our primary purpose is to carry the message, I thought we were here to get clean. Well, so did I. I thought this whole thing was about getting clean. And in my relationships with others, you know, I have determined that on occasion I have a primary purpose and it's not really all that good for that relationship. And that by applying the fifth tradition in that relationship, it causes me to step back and take a look at what the payoff is. You know, I had a sponsor one time who used to say to me all the time, when she noticed, but I had not noticed yet, that I was acting out in some behaviors that were unseemly, she would say, what's the payoff? And I didn't understand what she was talking about. What do you mean, what is the payoff? Well, the reality is I have to look at why I am acting a certain way in a relationship. What is the primary purpose that I am attempting to achieve? And is it based in spiritual principles? And sometimes it's not. But with the tool of that particular tradition, it allows me to get to a healthier spot or move away from something that's really unhealthy. Tradition 6. Oh, you know, I want to step back because one of the best parts of Tradition 5 for me is just what Bernard spoke about, and it's what is our message? And I hear a lot of things about that. I'm lucky enough to have come up in an area and in meetings that people always know. Our message is hope and our promise, and the promise is freedom of active addiction. But I just want you to know that what the basic text says is our message is hope and the promise is freedom. And freedom is so much bigger than freedom from active addiction. Freedom from active addiction is so limiting. But when you have freedom, that includes active addiction and the freedom to be and do what God meant you to do and be. Tradition 6. Tradition 6 is the first tradition I ever practiced in meetings because it allowed me to be smarter than you. It allowed me to be right. It allowed me to control. And it was always during that little section of the meeting where people would say, and are there any other announcements for the good of NA? And inevitably, somebody would say, well, there's a recovery dance going on, and it's going to be down there at that treatment center. I'd say, outside issue. Reach of the sixth tradition. And I was big on that. I'm not even sure I knew what I was talking about, but I was quick to call you to task. And I got to tell you that the God in that behavior was, I went head-to-head with a man in my rooms for a couple of years. I'm surprised we didn't hit each other with chairs over the sixth tradition. And in and of itself, if you're coming to blows over the steps of the tradition, something ain't right. And today, that man and I are the best of friends in recovery, and we laugh about that. But our growth process included beating each other up with a tradition. How spiritual is that? What I had to learn was that the traditions are there and they can be applied. And that the need I had, which was to humiliate you and put you in your place and be superior to you in the meeting setting where everybody else could see your humiliation, was not particularly appropriate or behavior that I wanted to have a part in my recovery. And I had to get humiliated. Humbling and humiliation are not the same thing. I was flat out humiliated and I was taken to task. I still am a firm believer in the six traditions. And the experience that I want to share to you is that I was at a meeting and about 2.5, 3 years clean. It was a Saturday night, and somebody announced that there was going to be a recovery party at so-and-so's house after the meeting, and there's going to be plenty of food, and y'all come. So we went, and it turned out not to be a recovery party. It was a recovery party for those people in recovery, but the rest of the people were drinking and drugging. And that night, a couple people went out. Now the grace is that they came back. But the fact that that meeting or that party or that unapproved Narcotics Anonymous message implied a sense of safety to people who might not have known otherwise. When I hear something announced within the safety of the meeting, I assume, and pardon me, I do that still, but I believe that it's a safe place for me to go. And in that case, it wasn't. But the sixth tradition and how I work this tradition in my life is because, you know, I got to tell you, there's parts of me that are all about money, property, and prestige, or would like to be if I had money, property, or prestige. You know, and I get confused a lot about the quest for outside stuff. You know, I'd like to tell you it's all inside work with me, but sometimes what I have on the outside gives me a sense of identity. And I'd like to believe, and I hope to believe, that someday I will grow enough as a person and as a woman in recovery to be able to put that stuff aside, but I am not there yet. So I continue to work on that. You know, I might want that college education. I might want that house. I might want that job that says to people, ooh, she's got it going on. And in and of themselves, I think that working to further your education and to get and hold a decent job and to provide a roof over your head are not contrary to what we want in these programs. It's where they factor into our lives. Are they at the top of our list? The primary purpose of who we are and what we are about? Are they somewhere down in a more balanced area? And so, you know, how I apply this tradition in my life on a daily basis is where I'm at today. I was really lucky when we moved to Florida and have a job. And I did something in recovery that I have never done because I'm all about having it in a row. I got to know where I'm going, when I'm going, where I'm going to sleep, what color the toilet paper is, what time I'm leaving, the whole thing. And I did something I'd never done. I just threw it all to the wind. I said, let's pack shit up. Let's go. Let's see what God's got in store. And I found a job. And I found a job relatively quickly and relatively painlessly, and it's a decent paying job. And, it's all about what I do and I have been doing for 25 years. And it was great for the first 3 months. And it did give me the opportunity, my husband and I, to plug into Narcotics Anonymous down there because we went to a meeting every single night when we first got down there, because I remembered what I had to do in the beginning as a newcomer, and that was to get people to know who I was. I raise my hand, I share. I still share like a newcomer, some people say, because I share what's in my face today. I do not rest on yesterday's recovery. This is what's going on with me today, and here's how I'm handling it the best I can, and if you got something better going on, please tell me about it. So we plugged in quickly, and I found a level of comfortability that was fabulous. You know, I told Richard when we went down there, I said, all right, here's the deal. One, I'm not going to tell him how much time I have. Two, I am not going to do any service. And three, I'm not going to share in meetings. And four, I am not going to sponsor. And I thought I could be anonymous in Narcotics Anonymous. Didn't work out that way. You know, the first thing I had to do was let him know who I was, and I was all about you. I'm here. Life can start. And the minute you open your mouth, you know, there's always going to be some woman who's sicker than you that needs what you have. So I have sponsees today, and they are a grace in my life. And they do keep me clean, and they keep me with my feet on the ground because they are who I am. I just covered up a little bit better today. And, you know, I was happy You know, it was like God had answered my dreams. I had a cute little house, had a little job that was good. Richard even found a job. And we were going to meetings. And in South Florida, there is something to do. And my home group is a small area of South Broward. And I don't imagine it's 50 miles square, if that. It might be 25 miles square. We have 100 meetings a week. And there is always something to do. And I'm thinking, this is what I have worked for. It is finally coming together. And then my boss said, guess what? You're going to work all day long, and then you're going to work nights too. And I'm going, damn. That means I don't get to go to meetings as much as I want to. Because I am definitely about a meeting makers make it kind of girl. And I had to pray about this. I had to take a look at the sixth tradition and see what my quest was. Was I going to go ahead and put my recovery on hold and drop those patterns of behavior and keep the job? And I didn't have an answer. I really didn't have an answer, but what I had was a support group and sponsorship in my life. And when I don't have an answer, and when the steps and the traditions or my interpretation of them don't work for me, I can go outside myself to help. And what that help explained to me was that sometimes there are short periods in my life where I have to put my recovery just a little bit back on the back burner to provide for the basic needs. And I know that might be a little controversial or a little contrary, but the reality is, you know, if I don't have a place to live and I don't have food in my belly, that will fill me with such pain and such fear, I will be back on the street. And we looked at alternative ways to augment my program. Where that sixth tradition came in was that I had to take a look at, was I putting my recovery on the back burner so that I could live in a five-bedroom house and drive a Lexus and wear my flash and have fancy clothes? And the reality is, it wasn't. I drive a little car, I have a little house, and I have a little job that gives me just enough to pay my bills and buy me that occasional Starbucks. And life is good. Before I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I knew I had a drug problem. I even suspected that I had a problem that was bigger than drugs, and it might be me. I'd been told I was a fuck-up for a lot of years. And I wanted to change, but I did not know how. I mean, I tried to change lots of different ways, but it was always outside stuff. My hair color, who I hang with, what I dressed in, who I talked to, what I was doing, where I was living. And it never affected the change that I needed. When my pain was great enough, I came to Narcotics Anonymous. And in Narcotics Anonymous, I found the steps and the traditions. The steps and the traditions teach me how to live with me and how to live with you. And they are a gift beyond comparison. You know, through those simple basic items, I have learned to live a life that's based in spiritual principle and about helping others and becoming the woman that God meant me to be. And for that, I'm grateful. Thanks for letting me share.